I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for murders that defy explanation, mystery seeking exploration, and shocking secrets that will leave you breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops. And neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
It's time.
It's time.
Time to get in the zone.
Time to get in the zone.
With the 49ers Web Zone.
This is the No Huddle Podcast
with Al,
Zane,
and Brian.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of 49ers Web Zone No Huddle Podcast on the Odyssey Network. I am Brian Rennick, and my co-hosts are not with me today. Al is on assignment. He's on vacation, and Zane is caught up at work. And so I am very excited to have of Niners Nation, Mr. Jason Aponte back on the show. Jason, how's it going, bud?
Thank you for having me, Brian. Never a dull moment. And I love that that's the title of this show. Never a dull moment in 49ers land or with the 49ers quarterbacks. And I'm sure we'll have plenty of things to speak about.
For sure. I'm like, how do other content creators of other teams like do it in the offseason? Because this 49ers gig is like, there's just always something, just always. And it feels like it's been that way for a really long time now. Like, we're talking prior to Shanahan, you know, all the stuff with Chip Kelly, all the stuff with Harbaugh. Like, it's never a dull moment in 49 land, and specifically never a dull moment with 49er QBs, which leads us into the big news currently in 49er land. It is Wednesday, February 22nd. Today was the day that Brock Purdy was supposed to have his surgery down in Texas to repair that UCL tear in his throwing elbow. And it came out yesterday that the surgeon suggested to Purdy and his team that they wait until early March because there's still a little bit too much inflammation in the elbow. And so now, who knows, right? Like, we have no idea. But I feel like, and I'm interested to see what you think, this feels like a foregone conclusion now that Trey Lance will be QB1 through at least the first handful of games of the regular season, if not longer, depending on how he does. Do you agree with that?
I do. And what a situation for the 49ers to find themselves in. The guy that you invested a ton of draft capital in is the guy that you're forced to play now. Shocker. Unbelievable situation.
Unbelievable.
For the 49ers to be. And it's just funny to me that a lot of people ran with this hyper-optimistic timeline of, we live in a perfect world. Everything's going to be fine. I would think that 49er fans would be a little bit more adjusted to the perfect world scenario to understand that it never is the perfect world at this point. So that was always my thing is, while we were talking, everyone said, okay, February 22nd is when he's going to get his surgery. Well, That means August 22nd, which is putting him on track for the third preseason game, which means he misses all of training camp entire way. And then you would automatically hand this thing off to him, barring no setbacks. It just felt like a timeline that obviously wasn't going to be met at this point. So, you know, when you think about the 49ers and their timelines that are given for injuries, no matter the position, it very rarely is best case scenario. So, you know, this is a life mantra. It should be the 49ers mantra. Hope for the best, prepare for the worst. And I think the 49ers are going to have to do that now.
Yeah. You know, it was always, you know, and I think people, you know, they hear 6 months, right? And they're like, so he's not even going to be able to throw for 6 months. And it's like, well, no, he can start throwing after three and then kind of ramp up from there. But even if he starts throwing May 22nd, right, and you ramp up, you're still talking about missing OTAs and then more likely than not missing training camp or not participating fully in training camp. And so, you know, I would say Zane dubbed me the captain of the Brock Purdy hype train. I was at that Dolphins game when Purdy came in, and it was incredible, like just the atmosphere, and really looking at what Brock Purdy did once he was inserted into this offense. And you can't deny what this offense looked like once Purdy went in. And so I think for a lot of fans, and myself included, Al included, right? You know, we really focused on, well, look at the amount of points that they're scoring with Brock Purdy versus even Jimmy Garoppolo prior to his injury, right? Garoppolo was still at the helm of this offense that had Christian McCaffrey, that had Debo Samuel, that had George Kittle, right? And Brock Purdy comes in, and outside of the Seattle game, which was a Thursday night, you know, with the rib injury, and then outside of that divisional round game with the Cowboys, they were scoring 30 plus points a game. And we haven't seen that in San Francisco in a long time. So it's like, well, yeah, obviously, like, he has established himself. But I also think if you take a step back and you kind of look at his performances, you know, I know Matt Maiocco had Greg Cassell on 49ers Talk. And one of the things that Cassell said was, towards the end of the season, like, he started leaving a lot of plays on the field. There was a lot left on the bone, if you will, even though they were scoring at an impressive clip. And it almost felt like he started to regress a little bit as the season progressed, which to a certain extent makes sense. And so there's a part of me that really was questioning, like, is this the right move, right? Everybody had crowned him QB1. Everybody had crowned him, you know, that he had taken over for Trey, and even teammates, right? Teammates speak glowingly of him. But there's a part of me that feels like maybe this is best case scenario. Maybe that was an incredible story, right? And it was. But is Brock Purdy the guy that's going to get you over the hump and get that Super Bowl title that Jimmy Garoppolo couldn't, right? Because Brock Purdy is Jimmy Garoppolo with a little bit more athleticism and escapability and took care of the ball better. But outside of that, you know, physically speaking, you know, he's an average at best quarterback. Do you feel more encouraged thinking that Trey is going to get this opportunity? Or do you feel like maybe it is a little bit scary seeing how Brock really, really ran this offense?
I do think that this is a best case scenario in terms of evaluating what you have at this point. And for people who have written off Trey Lance for a certain amount of starts, unreal, to be able to crown somebody after a certain amount of starts feels hypocritical. And it, at this yes, point right now, all we should be doing is gathering information, right? We do have a ton of information on Brock Purdy, which shows that he's operated this offense to a point that I don't think we've seen in a long time. I mean, when you surround someone who has been as sound with the ball and they're filled with playmakers at every single position, right? Brock is obviously giving you more of an upside than Jimmy Garoppolo will, because, you know, Jimmy Garoppolo wouldn't take the deep shots. Brock would. Whether the ball gets there on time, it's fine. Brock's still looking for those. And those turnover-worthy plays, they're not necessarily there because a dropped interception is an incompletion in anybody's book. But when you look at what the 49ers should be doing, right now you are trying to figure out what exactly you have in both of these guys. No matter what a guy does in camp or preseason doesn't necessarily translate to the regular season. What a guy does in the regular season in 8 games doesn't necessarily translate to a gold jacket. And I think 49er fans, if anybody should know this better than anybody, it should be 49ers fans. Let's think about it. Jimmy Garoppolo, after 5 games, gets a bag and gets the highest contract the quarterback has ever gotten, right? Colin Kaepernick for a while looked like the guy. The 49ers fan base has been waiting for their guy since Steve Young.
Yeah.
This is all gathering information at this point. So now what you have is, in all likelihood, Trey Lance is going to be available for OTAs, mini camp, training camp, the entire preseason. He's going to get his chance again in the regular season. Best case scenario is Trey Lance makes the jump that you all want him to make and makes this decision to turn it right back over to Brock Purdy as hard as possible because of the jumps that you've seen. So, yes, it's doom and gloom because you are in another offseason in which you don't know who the guy is or what you're going to be doing with your quarterback position again. But the optimistic way to look at it is you are about to find out one way or another what you have in Trey Lance, who you have invested so much into. And push has come to shove now at this point. Bring in a vet, let Trey Lance do his thing. I think this is best case scenario in terms of evaluating what you have.
Yeah, you know, I've been thinking a lot about this because, like I said, I was a Brock Purdy fan, still am. Like, I love him as a kid. You know, I think his best assets are between the ears. That really is what I think has separated him from at least from Trey so far. Right, is just the experience. Right, he started 4 years in a Power Five conference, and Trey Lance started one season in FCS school. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that was almost 4 years ago now. So, I mean, there is that, you know, there is that aspect to it, but you think about the progression that Kyle Shanahan has had when it comes to quarterbacks, right? He makes it to the Super Bowl after the 2019 season with Jimmy Garoppolo, and they come up short. And a lot of why they came up short is Garoppolo's performance in the fourth quarter. Is it all Jimmy Garoppolo's fault? 100% no. And if anybody tries to hang it 100% on him, then your opinion is not one that I think is valid. Yeah. Is he a factor? 100%, right? And so Shanahan goes, man, maybe he's not it. And then he flirts with Tom Brady and then decides, nah, we're going to stick with Jimmy. And then 2020 happens. And for the second season out of three, Garoppolo is lost for the majority of the season. And Shanahan is livid, right? And he, at that point, thinks, what can we do to fix this? And he wants Deshaun Watson, and then Deshaun Watson does what Deshaun Watson does. And then he wants Matthew Stafford, and Stafford ends up going to LA. And then he says, all right, well, then we're going to go in the draft. And there is a player in that draft that very much was in the mold of a Brock Purdy, and that was Mac Jones.
Ooh.
And Mac Jones was available. Mm-hmm. And Kyle Shanahan still went with Trey Lance. And I think Kyle Shanahan went with Trey Lance after getting his ass kicked by Patrick Mahomes in the Super Bowl and then getting his ass kicked by Josh Allen on national TV in 2020. Mm-hmm. And saying, I want one of those dudes. Like, I'm tired of just being content with a system quarterback who can run my system. Right. I want a guy, and Shanahan said this, I want a guy who can, if I call in the wrong play, I want a guy that can save me from that. Right. Mm-hmm. And Brock has a little bit of that in his game. He's got some escapability. He's got some reaction plays, mm-hmm. but he doesn't have the same level of athleticism that Lance has, and nor anywhere near the arm. Right. And so to me, I almost feel like this injury to Brock Purdy saves Kyle Shanahan from himself, because I know that Kyle Shanahan was over the moon with Purdy's performance. And I honestly think all things considered, if Purdy doesn't get injured, I don't think it's a question in Shanahan's mind who his QB1 is moving forward.
100%. Mm-hmm.
But does that still keep him in the same exact place he was with Jimmy Garoppolo, mm-hmm. except now just a little, like a step above, right? Like, mm-hmm. you were here and now you're here. Whereas if you've developed Trey Lance, You're here, and now you're here, right? You're with the guys. You're with the Patrick Mahomeses. You're with the Josh Allens. You're with the guys that can put the team on their back and win you a game. I don't know that Brock Purdy can do that. And so that's the interesting thing to me is, does this, like I said, does this save Kyle Shanahan from himself?
Well, I do think that there is a discussion about floor and ceiling. And I do think that obviously Brock Purdy's floor is higher than Trey Lance's floor, but the ceiling is much higher, right? Mm-hmm. So it depends on what you're really willing to look for, you know, at this point. I do 100% agree with your sentiment of Brock Purdy's performance, almost feeling like Kyle got his Kirk Cousins to his Robert Griffin the third, right? Like it almost feels like that.
That's a great point. Great analogy.
And when you look at the performance and how many points, you know, we talked about it, who can argue that? But when you look at what we just watched in this Super Bowl, let's just take this Super Bowl, right? Mm-hmm. Jalen Hurts had 2 years in which people said, I don't know how you can stick with this kid. And the Eagles, while they had a so-called franchise quarterback within Carson Wentz, drafted Jalen Hurts. And they let it play out. Jalen Hurts has hurdled himself into a conversation. Yeah, thrust himself into a conversation of being in the top five, right? And when you look at Patrick Mahomes, well, you know, he is what he is. But I do want to point to one particular play in the Super Bowl because you talked about, I need a quarterback who can save me when things are wrong. Mm-hmm. So the second touchdown in which Sky Moore scored a touchdown, he, if you notice, he waves Kadarius Toney from the right side and Kadarius Toney tells him, no, that's, I'm not in motion. And then he just turns the other way. And he calls Sky Moore, and guess what happens? Touchdown. So you do need a guy who can be, like, again, Kyle Shanahan spoke about, I want a guy with a mind like Breeze and who can run like Lamar Jackson. Well, when you find that guy, who that is, let me know so the 49ers can go out there and scout him.
Yeah.
But I do think that that is a sentiment towards the higher ceiling quarterback. But mm-hmm. You have to really mitigate your risk when you come to how you build this roster, build this team that is built to win right now, in terms of how do you develop and win games. And I do think my biggest criticism of Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch and this organization, who have done an incredible job of building a top three roster in the NFL, did miss the mark in terms of how much Trey Lance needed in terms of development while trying to balance a win now roster. And I don't like this situation for Trey. I think that they miscalculated what they could do. And it kind of, these last 2 years played out the way that it did. You're never excited about an injury, but if Trey Lance plays the entire year, you probably don't win as many games and don't make it as far as you do this past year. At the same time, I wish Trey Lance was afforded the time to develop and the time and the games to be able to get his feet under him to reach his ceiling, because I don't think it's fair to put that on anybody. If we were going through the draft process and you went through the first year, you would say Mac Jones clears everybody. Nobody else is worth anything, right? Trevor Lawrence looked bad. Justin Fields looked bad. Zach Wilson looked bad. Trey Lance didn't even play. But here we are after that year. Mac Jones is kind of settling into where he is. Trevor Lawrence looks like that guy because guess what? He got like good coaching and he has a bunch of people. Zach Wilson has completely become a person where nobody wants anything. And Justin Fields at least flashed some of that athletic ability that you've seen when you move the offense towards him. I just don't think Trey Lance has been afforded those same sort of chances that those guys have, and I feel bad for him. Good or bad, better or worse, don't know what he will be. hope that he will be this. I just don't think he didn't get the chances that those guys got. That's my biggest issue with the way that the 49ers went about this.
It feels like they underestimated what it would take for him to develop. It's like they thought, hey, listen, the Patrick Mahomes plan, like game time, we'll do that, right? We'll sit him. We'll sit him for a year behind, you know, a vet that you know, is good and can be great, but is mainly good and sometimes terrible, right? Right. Patrick Mahomes sat behind Alex Smith, who was just steady. He was just a pro. He was a pro's pro. Loved Alex Smith. Loved him to death. Jimmy Garoppolo, pro's pro, you know, good. And with Kyle Shanahan, when he's healthy, bordering on great. But the health part was the biggest issue. You're right. They tried to develop a quarterback with a win now roster without thinking that what he needed to develop was reps, game reps specifically, not scout team reps, not training camp reps, but actual game reps. And so we're still there, right? We're going into year three. That's still what he needs because he didn't get it in year one or two. Now, granted, year two, that's an unfortunate circumstance. You can't forecast that, but it is what it is. And so you're right. That's the frustrating part. And as a fan, I think for a lot of fans, it scares them to death because they don't know what they have in Trey Lance. But here's the one thing that I will say that I'm like, and it kind of goes into another question I wanted to ask you, and it has to do with free agency.
Hey, y'all. Poodle and Maddie here from Reality Gaze. Grab your favorite thong because for the first time, we're heading to the villa for the new season of Love Island USA.
I can't wait to watch Ariana babysit these shiny, oiled up adults who I'm pretty sure aren't there for the right reasons.
From the home wrecking bombshells to the absolute wreckage of movie night.
Pull up a daybed and join us every Wednesday for all the Love Island USA drama.
Find Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snapple, it's really refreshing!
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey, wherever you get your podcasts.